Now we're holding on for Aleph Amud Beis, about the middle of the wide lines, 12 lines from the bottom. We discussed yesterday the question of whether an Eved Ivri who is a Kohen is allowed to have relations with a Shifcha Knanis like any other Eved Ivri would, or is it maybe different for a Kohen because he has special mitzvahs? And that intersected with the question of whether an Eved Ivri Kohen could have his Iyur Pius. Because it would make him a Baal Mum. So we said, as far as the Shifcha Knanis, Rab held yes, Shmuel held no. As far as the piercing his ear, we said the Chachamim say no because it'll make him a Baal Mum. Yudan Beribi says yes because it's not going to make him a Baal Mum. It's being done in the ear lobe rather than in the cartilage of the ear. And the Gemara put those two together by saying that according to Shmuel, of necessity, it has to be. That he's mutter in a Shifcha Knanis. How could Shmuel say that he's osur? If he was osur, there'd be no talk about doing Ritzia anyhow, because he has to be able to say, Ahavti es Adoni, es Ishti ves Bane, which means that he loves his Shifcha Knanis wife and doesn't want to separate from her. We mentioned yesterday the Shita Lo Noda Lami says maybe in fact that consideration is why Yudan Beribi says that maybe in fact that you could put those two things together and say that and say because of that is so in the end there is no Ritzia, not just because it doesn't create a mum, but because there's no consideration of Ritzia in the first place. So now the Gemara is going to digress from that, since we're asking about a Shifcha Knanis, which is an exception. So now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit and talk about the matter of another case where the Torah makes an exception and allows a Yid to have relations with a Goyta, or may not have, may or may not allow it, as we'll see in a minute, namely the case of the Yefas Toyar. Torah tells us at the beginning of Parashas Kisetze, Kisetze l'mochama aleivecha, you find a woman in Yefas Toyar, you desire her, then you bring her to your house, she goes through the whole process over there, and she becomes your wife. So let's talk about that. Iboilahu, Kohen Mao b'yifas toyar. Would a Kohen, if he's serving in the army, and b'chlal, whether a Kohen serves in the army is a whole other discussion, but anyway, if a Kohen is serving in the army, would he be allowed to take a yifas toyar? Would we say chidushu? After all, the whole concept that yifas toyar should be mutter is a chidush, because normally should be osur. Now, on what grounds should be osur? There's a good deal of discussion among Rishonim. When it comes to marrying a goita, there's an issur in the Torah. Well, it's chatin bum, you have a machlokas, which we'll have later on in the Masechta, whether d'oraisa it applies to all nations or only the seven nations of Canaan. But when they're not nisgayer, then the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that only much later the Beis Din Shel Chashmonaim made rules against that and made a gzeira against that. Midaraisa, it would be mutter. So what exactly do we mean over here that it would be osur? So there's a few different answers. Among them that the Gemara is going to say soon, it's allowed even if she's an Eishes Ish, which normally that would be osur then to have relations with her because she's an Eishes Ish of a goy, and even goyish marriages are recognized in halacha. But here the Torah is making an exception and allowing it. Anyway, so once you say it's a chiddush, loishna kohen v'loishna Yisrael, maybe there's no difference between a kohen and a Yisrael. Oiduma shiny kohenim hoyover riba behen mitzvahs yiseris. Maybe kohenim are different because the Torah puts on them more mitzvahs as far as their marriages than Yisraelim have, where, like we said yesterday, they can't marry a grusha or chalola, etc. So maybe therefore they're also maybe therefore Yifas Torah is off limits to them as well. So the it's a machloekas. So Rav am mutter, Shmuel am osur. So Rav says the Kohen will be allowed to. Shmuel says not. So the Gemara points out, but bia rishona de kol amal et pligi de shari. Now, when it comes to the first bia, the first time he has relations with her, that everybody will agree, even Rav, that it is mutter. Even Shmuel will agree it's mutter. De lo dibur Torah ela keneged yetzahara. After all, the whole reason why the Torah allowed the Yifas Torah is. It's speaking against the Yetzer Hara, as the Gemara is soon going to bring a Braisa that spells that out. In other words, Hashem is saying effectively, look, I understand, you're a soldier in war. You have less inhibition than you usually would. If I'm not matir you to do this, then you're just going to go and do it be'isur. So instead, I'll give you a way of heter to do it. So therefore, you could argue that even for a Kohen, even though he has mitzvah Yiseiras, the fact is he still has a Yetzer Hara, and therefore the Torah has to give him that has to give him that out. So then you would say, so it would be mutter to a kohen. He pligi would be a shnia. The question would be as far as the second bia or later, where he's already calmed down. Rav am mutter, Shmuel am aser. That's where Rav will say that it's aser, that it's mutter, and Shmuel will say it's aser. Rav am mutter, hayov ishtar ye ishtin. Rav will say, look, once she's already mutter the first time, and you're making an exception, then the exception carries over to later on. Again, the fact that the Torah is making an exception b'chlal, that normally she would be off limits to you anyhow, and now the Torah is being matuit to you, so the exception is being made for Yisrael. Once you do, then the exception carries over to a Kohen as well, and we don't say mitzvah siseris. Or Shmuel, I'm also dehachazyalei giyoris. Shmuel says, no, she can't be mutter to him, because after all, she's a giyoris. After only the first bia is allowed, so we're going to discuss soon the question, the first bia, does it take place before or after she's a giyoris? We'll get to that point soon in the Gemara, but anyway, she's a giyoris, a giyoris l'koyin l'chazia, and a giyoris is not suitable to marry a koyin, because the Torah tells us that a zoyna is not allowed to marry a koyin, and that includes a giyoris. So as much as you may have, in other words, Tosfos a little further on explains that the difference is, the first time she was a goita, that's one isser. Now she's a giyoris, that's a different isser. That isser was never, you can never say that isser was kiven shehutra hutra, kiven ishtarya ishtarya. You can't say once it was mutter, then that hoyo ishtarya ishtari. You can't say that, because this is a different isser. Another point, now what it is Rashi and Tosfos have an argument a little further in the Gemara. What is the story with the Yafas Toya? Rashi learns that it doesn't mean you're allowed to have relations with her as a goita. It means, and he explains a piece of Gemara a little bit further, to mean that you have to first go through the whole procedure. You have to, she sits for a month over there and cries with her hair undone, and then not wearing her beautiful clothing, and so on and so forth. And then if she agrees that she wants, then if she's made peace with the situation, then you wait, and then you megayer her, you wait another 2 months, and then you marry her. Rashi learns that only at that point are you allowed to first have relations with her. So Tosfos, on the other hand, has many, many questions on Rashi. Among them, well, how is that supposed to appease the guy's Yetzirah? If the whole point is the Torah is being mocked to the Yafas Torah, because otherwise he's just going to do it in a way that's also, as the Gemara is going to say soon, then how is the fact that he's going to have to wait 3 months before he has relations with her, how is that going to calm his Yetzirah down? And Tosfos has a lot of other questions on Rashi from this Gemara and from Gemaras in Sanhedrin and so on and so forth. And Tosfos ends up saying that no, what it means is actually he is allowed to have relations with her the one time when she's a goita, still as a goita. Afterwards, if he wants to continue having relations with her, then he has to go through the whole procedure that it explains in the psukim over there, with her sitting and crying for a month and so on and so forth.
She's actually happening in her house.
So that's the thing. The Gemara is going to mention soon. We're going to get to that soon. And Rashi learns it means that during the whole time, he's not allowed to have relations with her till later. Tosfos learns that it means he's allowed the one time. The Rambam holds similarly and says that he's allowed the one time. Anyway, the point is, so if we say that, then you have very easily that, you see, as again, we're saying there's two different isurim. First, there's the isur of a goita or an ashes ish or whatever. And now, separately, you have the isur of a giyoris for a koyin. On the other hand, according to Rashi's point of view, the Ritva says it's not really a true geirus. A true geirus would be with her consent. Here, it's being done against her will. So therefore, you have the chiddush and the Torah that it's mutter, but you would say only be a rishonah because ledibra Torah l'knei yetzahara, but not after that, because it's a geirus, but it's a yes to begin with. Even the be a rishonah was after geirus, so it is the same issue in both cases. But fine, ledibra Torah l'knei yetzahara, and therefore it allows him the one time, but not necessarily after that. So that would be the machlokas then, where Shmuel would say that the second time and onward would be osur, only the first one would be mutter.
What's what you mentioned earlier that the Torah does recognize that a marriage of a goita,
that's what we're saying. We're saying that there's an exception, even though the Torah recognizes the marriage of a goita. Nevertheless, when she's captured as a Yafas Toyar, that undoes that and allows you to marry her and have relations.
Okay, separates her marriage.
Separate, yeah. Okay, so that's one way of understanding the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So again, this first way would be they both agree you are allowed be a rishona, even a koyin. The question is be a shnia. Rav will say yes, and Shmuel will say no. Ikadam, the others say no. But the other way around, but be a shnia. The second bia, everybody will agree she's also to a koyin, to have your gyuris, because at that point she's a gyuris. Ki pligi, the machlokas would only be bia rishona. Are they even allowed to have the first bia when he's a koyin? Rav am a mutter dahalo dibur Torah elokin ur yetzahara. So Rav is going to say it's mutter because the Torah is only saying it in order to calm down his yetzahara, and a koyin has that yetzahara too. Or Shmuel am a aser. Shmuel will say no because he says kol hecha de karina ba v'havesa al teich besecha. Only when they could apply what continues in the Torah, you will bring her into your house, etc. And after all, the whole month, after the whole procedure, she will become your wife. Then Karina Bev Vredesa Bashivya. Only then does the beginning of it apply that you'll find in the captivity and Ashes Yifasaria. But Shmuel will say, well, you don't have that Vesa El Tech Besecha, it's impossible to marry her because you're a Koyin and she's a Gyuris. Loy Karina Bev Vredesa Bashivya. Then we're not going to apply the first part, the Vredesa Bashivya, and therefore, according to this version of Shmuel, it'll be Osir even the first time for a Koyin. In Dini Issa V'Heter, the halacha is usually like Rav, and so it is over here in the Rambam Paskins that, like Rav, that even a Koyin is allowed be a Rishona, because lo dibur Torah lo kanur yetzahara.
That's only if he's at the actual war.
If he's at the actual war, of course, right.
War probably depends if it's Mechamus.
Yeah, it depends whether it's Mechamus Choyv or Mechamus Rishos, whatever. Yeah. Tosfos actually points out that when it comes to what we discussed before about a Koyin with a Shivcha, there we're not distinguishing between Bia Rishona and Shnia. Why over here would we be distinguishing and saying that even according to Rav, we would be saying Bia Shnia is Osir? So Tosfos says, because over there, what you have is the whole concept is why is a Shivcha Osir Lo Yekodesh? And that's an Issa which is equal by Koyanim and by Yisraelim. So once it was Mutter to Yisraelim, then it's Mutter to Koyanim as well. Here, the fact that it's mutter to Yisrael is not really as much of a chiddush, you know. And for a Kohen, it's a different issue that applies to him and not to Yisrael. So therefore, we have reason to distinguish between Bia Rishona and Bia Shnia in a way that we wouldn't when it comes to a Shifa. What Tosfos is saying over here is there's a lot of different achronim talk about different angles on what exactly Tosfos means by all of this. What distinction exactly Tosfos is making? The Maharam points out one possible meaning of what Tosfos says, that it has to be therefore once we schlugged up Shmuel before and we showed a Kohen should be allowed with a Shifcha Knanis regardless, because otherwise again we said how is it possible to even talk about piercing his ear? Once we do that, then it has to be Shmuel is going to allow even Bia Shnia. Otherwise, if Rav would say they are also Bia Shnia is also, then how are you ever going to have that? He's going to say, I have Tias Adonius, Ishti Ves Banai, because one time he's going to have such a love for her. So therefore, we have to say that Bia Shnia and onward is Mutter as well. Whereas in this version, we're saying when it comes to a Yifas Toyar, even Rav is allowing Koyin only the one time. And that's the difference because it's the basis of the Isser. The basis of the Isser by a Shivcha is equal by Koyanim and by Yisraelim, whereas the basis of the Isser here is different in each case because one is an Isser of a Goita and the other is an Isser of a Gioras, which is specific to Koyanim. Worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection, first of all, a couple of things about this Lodibra Torah Elokin Ur Yetzahara. I mean, where do we ever find such a thing? Since when? Lodibra Torah Elokin Ur Yetzahara. Conquer your Yetzahara and have done with it. And in fact, there's a Sicha where the Rebbe talks about essentially that's the deeper meaning behind it. Lodibra Torah Elokin Ur Yetzahara. The Torah is telling you, oppose your Yetzahara. He says, go to war. Be above your enemies, v'shavisa shivya, take their captives, don't allow yourself to get enmeshed in the Yetzirah, just the opposite, overcome it. But at least on the simple level, you do have this concept in Fas Torah. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has on the Pesukim a very interesting explanation of it. He says, sometimes you have neshamas. Now we know the neshama of a ger was originally born as they're destined to be a ger. That's why the Gemara always uses the expression ger shenis gayer. Usually they become gerim on their own. Sometimes you have a neshama that's so deeply embedded in klippus that you can't extract it using the normal process. And he gives an example, the whole story with Shechem and Dinah. where there were sparks of Kedusha in Shechem, but they couldn't be gotten out using the normal way, and therefore there had to be the whole story with Dinah to extract those, and then what's left is just a clipper that can be discarded and destroyed, which is why Shechem is killed. So he says in the same vein over here, when you see the Ifas Toyah, what you're really seeing is she has a connection to your neshama. Your neshama needs yours to schlep it out from the clippers. Therefore, that's why the Ebishter made it, that you have a desire for her. So Lo Dibra Torah Ala Kanagi Yetzahara, in the sense, the Yetzahara thinks, good, I have a chance to be Machshel Yid in marrying a Goita. And meanwhile, the Yetzahara doesn't realize that actually this is a stratagem to get her out of the klippas and bring her into Das Yisrael in a way that wouldn't have been possible in the normal way.
Little problem.
The fact is, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that you're not supposed to marry Ifas Toyah, and it can result. What happens afterwards? Yeah, you can have a ben soda or a murder from it. All fine, but nevertheless, the fact is that it could happen that nevertheless the neshama itself is a good neshama that was extracted. What happens after that is another question.
Tanoim said that he lived maybe 3-4 months ago. Maybe it was insightful that he ended up marrying this rich woman.
Yeah. We had Rabbi Akiva, for example, with Tunis Rufus, his wife. Yeah, that's a different case because she became a Giyuris voluntarily, but yeah. Okay, we'll go see. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanim. So now we learn in a braisa. Let's talk about some more of the dinim of Yifas Toyah. The braisa is going to go through the pasuk and darshan it phrase by phrase. First, the pasuk says, "Ve'ra'isa b'shivya," you see in the captivity. So that means b'shas shivya, that means specifically at the time of captivity, meaning to begin with, the first time you laid eyes on her, you have a desire for her, as opposed to, in other words, Rashi says, let's say, for example, you originally captured her as a slave woman or whatever, later on, nosen ein abo, later on, you say, you know what, she's beautiful, then you don't have the heter of your fastaya. When it continues, Aishas, when it says Aishas, means vathilu Aishas ish, meaning even if she's an Aishas ish, even though she was married to a goy. Now, Tosfos points out, we said before that Torah does recognize goyish marriages only to a limited extent. We do say one of those Shev Mitzvos Min Hanayach is not to commit adultery, but for a yid to have relations with a goyta is not necessarily being over on that. However, it would be over on the Esser, where it says, V'dovak v'ishto v'lei v'eshes chaveira, that a man is only supposed to be with his own wife, not somebody else's wife. But here we're saying that nevertheless, the Torah is making her mutter in this particular case. One point is, and Rashi mentions on the Psukim over there where it says that she has to take off her dress and put on different clothes. Rashi makes a point over there from Sifri that the Goyim would send their wives and daughters to war beautifully dressed and made up in order to seduce the Jews. So already she's shown that her marriage is not particularly important to her if she's appearing like that. So yeah. Anyway, Yifas Toyah, the Pasuk continues, a beautiful woman. That means like we said before, the Torah only speaks of opposing the Yetzahara. In other words, usually, why would it be that you're attracted to her is because she's beautiful. And the point is, in other words, it's not something the Torah is eager to be matter, it's really only reluctant. Better that Jews should eat the meat of animals that are about to die and then are shechted, even though Rashi points out from other Gemaras, it's not the best thing to do. We find, for example, that Yechezkel said on himself that he doesn't do that. Nevertheless, it's disgusting. Nevertheless, it is technically mutter. Rather than eating them after they already die, which is an outright issur. So the same way, like the Torah is kind of being matter over here, the lesser Isser, in order that you don't get from it a greater Isser instead. Next, the pasuk continues, v'hashata ba, v'hashata, you desire. That means, afal pisha inana, even if she's not beautiful, as long as you have, since the pasuk said earlier, Yifas Toyah, you would think maybe it only applies if she's objectively beautiful. No, the key thing is that you desire her. When it says ba, you desire in her, means not her and another woman. You can't take two Yifas Toyah. Then when it says v'lakachta, it says you take, that means l'kuchen, yeshel faba, you're taking her is considered a marriage. So again, and Rashi says that means, in other words, even though the Gedorus is against her will, nevertheless it still takes. So, and then there's a few different explanations among Rishonim. One of them is the Ritva, who explains Rashi that way, that it means normally a gerus against somebody's will is not valid, but here it is. Other Mephoshim make a point also that it means, for example, the Meiri makes a point, for example, that nobody else would be allowed to steal her away from you. That would be considered like taking an Eishes Ish. When it says l'chala isha, it says to you as a wife. That means shelo yikach shtei noshim achas lo v'achas la'aviv achas lo v'achas l'vnoi. He can't, for example, capture two women and designate one's going to be for himself and the other one for his father, or one for him and one for his son. Tosfos doesn't like the girsa shelo yikach shtei noshim. Of course, you're not allowed to take two. You wouldn't be allowed to take one for your father or your brother either, or your son either. So rather, the girsa Tosfos says should be you're only allowed to take her for yourself. You can't capture your fast Torah for somebody else. Anyway, and the last one, Bahavesa, when it says you should bring her, that teaches her that he's not allowed to force her in the battle. Now here you have Rashi and Tosfos. Here you have the Machlokas. What does it mean? Rashi learns, and Rashi just says, "Lovei aleha," not to have relations with her during the battle, which means, in other words, Tosfos says, Rashi seems to be implying, like we said before, it's also to even have relations with her until the battle is over and everything that it says in the Pesukim has been accomplished. Here is where Tosfos has the problem with Rashi, a lot of problems with Rashi, that doesn't seem to fit with what the Gemara is saying over here. How is that Dibur Torah Elokeinu Yitzhara? Why are we calling it Tmusas Shchutas if she became a Gioras first? And the relations with her are completely mutter, and so on and so forth. And therefore, Tosfos learns, and the Rambam also learns, that no, it means the first relations are allowed with her while she's still 100% goiter. And nevertheless, the Torah is making an exception, because lo dibur Torah lo kanoni yitzhara. To answer Rashi, again, you have the Ritva makes a point that Rashi would be saying, even though the Gerus is not completely with her consent, nevertheless, it still takes, even though a Gerus normally wouldn't work like that. Okay, now let's get back to the matter of the ritzia, of the piercing of the ear of the Eved, which we started talking about yesterday. So Tana Rabban, we learn in a Braisa, im omer yoimar, the Pasuk says, if say he will say, that means actually yoimar the yishna, means he has to repeat the words, ahavti asadoni, etc. If he says it only at the beginning of the 6 years and not at the end, then he does not get his ears pierced. He says, I will not go out free, implying actually, you're talking about he's about to go out free, and now he's saying, I don't want. On the other hand, but if he said it at the end of the 6 years and not at the beginning, also ain't a nirza. Then he also wouldn't be have his ear pierced. Shenema loy omer b'seif sheish v'omer tchilas sheish einu nirtza. Shenema im omer yoimah eved. It has to be if the slave says, meaning ad she yoimah kshu eved, he has to say it while he's still an eved. So if he says it only at the end of the 6 years, he's already no longer an eved. The time's expired, so he has to say it before the 6 years are up. Which actually now, so it comes out, we're saying he has to say it twice, and we're saying he has to say b'tchilas of a soif. The Rosh actually learns, the Tosfos Rosh, it means altogether he would have to say it four times, two at the beginning, or two, the Gemara is going to explain soon what it means at the beginning. How can he say at the beginning, ahav di asadoni, when he doesn't have them yet? And what does it mean in the end? We'll discuss that soon. But anyway, the Tosfos Rosh learns that it would actually have to say it four times altogether. On the other hand, many other Mephoshim learn that not. He only has to say it twice. That's how the Rambam paskins.
Why
four times? Because the Rosh would say twice at the beginning, or whatever the beginning, as we're going to define it, twice soon, and twice at the end. And maybe right after the other, maybe shortly after one another, whatever.
And they both agree he can say it before beginning?
Everybody agrees that he has to say it at the beginning, which we're going to define soon what the beginning means. Yeah. Doesn't mean the beginning of the 6 years. We'll talk about soon. And everybody agrees he has to say it at the end. But what do we mean by the beginning and the end? We'll talk about soon. The point is, if you were to just say it twice at the beginning or twice at the end, it still wouldn't work. So the Rosh understands he has to say it four times. Most other Mephoshim understand that no, what it means is once at the beginning and once at the end. So Omamar, so let's analyze, so where the master said, let's analyze this Braisa. Where are we? Omer betchilas sheish, for like Omer besoif sheish. If he said at the beginning of the 6 years and not at the end, einein yitzei, that he doesn't get his ear pierced. Shenema lo etzei chof. She is, as the pasuk says, I won't go free, implying that he's about to go free and he doesn't want to. So the question is, my ear yim lo etzei chof. Why do you need to mention that pasuk? Typically, don't you have a better reason why, if he said it earlier, if he said it at the beginning of the 6 years, and at this point, the Gemara assumes that betchilas sheish means the beginning of 6 years. So, of course, for a different reason, it can't be that he's going to be have his ear pierced. He has to be able to say, I love my master, I love my wife, meaning my Shifra Knanis wife, and my children from her. Veleka, and at the beginning of the 6 years, he doesn't have that yet. The two, and also we have to ask, what does the Brais mean? If he said it's at the end of the 6 years, but not at the beginning, he also doesn't get his ear pierced. It says that he has to say it as however. Why? At the end of the 6 years, before the 6 years have quite expired, he's still an Eved. So what does the Brais mean? So the answer is Amar Rava, my b'tchilas sheish b'tchilas pruta achroina, or my b'soif sheish b'soif pruta achroina. It doesn't mean the beginning of the 6 years and the end of the 6 years. It means, and Rashi, by the way, takes out he had a girsa in front of him, loy kasha and kan, so Rashi probably also wouldn't have the my b'tchilas sheish or my b'soif sheish. Rava, in any case, Rava is explaining that when we say tchilas sheish means when we begin to get down to the last. Now, we talk about Giroin Kesef. We talk about he sold for X amount of money and we prorated over the time that he was working. And over time, we say that amount diminishes and eventually it comes. He's worked off the entire purchase price and that coincides with the end of the 6 years. Because to begin with, we arranged his purchase price accordingly. And therefore, now he goes free. So now, when he's reaching the beginning of that last Pruta, so then that's when that would be the first time that he says, Ahavti es Adoni. So in other words, we're talking about, so if he says it earlier than that, so if he says it earlier before the Pruta Achrona, now fine, he already has an Isha Obonim, so he's able to say Ahavti Es Adoni, but he only says it then, and not the Seif Sheish, after that last Pruta started, then he's Eina Nirtza, because it has to be close to the time of Yitzia. When you have an entire Pruta left, it's not considered close enough to the time of Yitzia yet.
But the real time is very, very
bad. So you'd have to time it. So, on the other hand, if he says it only b'soif pruta achroina, but not b'tchilas pruta achroina, then not, because they have to have omer yomer ha'eved, he has to say it when he's an eved. So if he says it only when the last pruta is about to be used up, you have less than a shava pruta, so therefore you can't really be considered an eved anymore, in the sense you have less than a pruta in general, and in Torah is not considered mum.
But the first time he said it could be the second year, right?
So what we're saying is it has to be there's a pruta left of his worth.
The first time
he says it. Now you could have, he could be a very cheap Eved. It could be that his work is worth next to nothing. So then you would have, pruta could take a long time. On the other hand, you could have what the Gemara sometimes calls Eved Noikiv Margolius, that he's able to pierce pearls or do other really high, very expensive work like that. And then a pruta would be used up in a very short amount of time. But that's how it is. It has to be the beginning and the end of the last pruta, respectively. Or right.
Almost the same time.
Depends how long the Pruta is. Actually, the Ritva learns that if he has an Isha Obonim, then it would be fine if he says the first time earlier. All it is the second time has to be already, has to be timed at the time of Pruta Achrona. Rashi brings another Loshin that he found in the Gersois in front of him, which is that Omo Yoimar again means he has to repeat it. However, it means he has to say it when he's an Eved. And that if he says B'tchilas Sheish and not B'soif Sheish, then no, because it says Omo Yoimar. And if he says B'soif Sheish and not B'tchilas Sheish, then not, then Lo Yetzei Chofshi. So in other words, it flips around the droshes on the last two. But Rashi has many questions on that. Omo Yoimar already means he has to repeat it. So why do we need another drosha to say that he has to repeat it? If it means that he has to say it twice at the end of the 6 years, then it's not similar to the Reisha, because after all, why, if he said it twice at the beginning, what basis do we have to say that Eina Nirtza? So Rashi prefers the Girsa that we have in front of us, which is from Omer Yoma, we're learning that he has to say it twice. From Ahavti Es Adoni and from Lo Yetzei Chofshi, we're learning the timing of those two statements. Okay. Tanan Rabbanim, we learn in a Braisa, Loi Isho Bonim, or Rabbi Ein Isho Bonim. If he has a wife and children, meaning the Shivcha Knanis and children, and his master does not, Ein Nirt said that he doesn't get his ear pierced, Shinem of Kiahev Chobe Espe Secha. In Parashas Yudah A, when the Torah repeats these mitzvahs, this mitzvah of Ritzia, it says he loves you and your household. So implying that it's you, the master, have to have a household, which means a wife, at least. Beis Ezer Ishtar.
You know that the master has them.
Yeah. L'rabba isho vanim v'loy eini isho vanim. On the other hand, if the master has and the slave doesn't, also eini nir, say he doesn't get his ear pierced. Shenemar ahavti es adoni es ishti ves bonai, because he has to have that. He says, I love my master and my wife and my children. So that implies that it's referring to his goyish wife, right. Shifcha Knanis. Right, that's the point. In other words, we mean if he has a wife, if he has the goyish, if he has the Shifcha Knanis wife, versus if he doesn't. If he doesn't have one, if his master never assigned him one, then ain't a new set. And we can't pierce
also, his ear. Also, he can't stay a slave unless he has.
Right.
That's a lacha.
Yeah. Another din, who oyhaves rabbi, the rabbi ain't a oyhavoy, ain't a nitsa. If he loves his master, but his master doesn't love him, also he doesn't get his ear pierced. Shinemaki tov lo imach, because the pasuk says he has it good with you, implying that you like him. Rabbi oyhaves who ain't a oyhaves rabbi. On the other hand, if his master likes him, but he doesn't like his master, in which case he's staying on for other reasons, whether it's because of the shivcha and her children, whether it's because he's poor and he has nothing better to do, whatever it is. Also, ain't a nitsa that he's not. With Pierce, Shinema ki ahevcha, because the pasuk says, he loves you. If he loves his master and not the other way around, then you don't have kitov la'imach. Rabbi, oh yeah, Rabbi, when oyev is Rabbi, yeah. In the nirtzah, Shinema ki ahevcha, the pasuk says he loves you. Hu chola v'rabbi ein chola. If he's sick and his master is not, ein nirtza, he also can't have his ear pierced. Shenema ki tov lo imach. The pasuk says he has it good with you, implying that he has it good, not that he's sick. Rabbi chola v'rabbi ein chola ein nirtza. And if his master is sick and he's not, then also he's not nirtza. Shenema imach, because the pasuk says with you, implying that they have to be on an equal level. So boy, a bibi bada buy it.
You need a slave when a person's sick. That's when you need
maybe, help. But the fact is, then that's not when his ear is pierced. Then you kick him out after 6 years, and that's that. So the boy, a bibi bada buy it. Shneim cholin mai. What if both of them are sick? Imcha ba'inan vahayikah, do you need to fulfill what it says in the pasuk imcha, and you have it because they're both on an equal level? Or maybe the pasuk says he has to have it good with you, implying that you both have to have it good. Vahaleka, and here you don't have. So the Gemara says take. The Rambam paskins that in that case ain't a nirtza. But Pashtus, we're not gonna be reitzeya and keep him on after yovel unless we know for sure we can do it. Not like this where it's a suck.
Either way, which is shukr is one thing, but. If he decides I want to work for him because a regular worker.
If he wants to work as a regular worker, fine, but then he's going to be also in a shift for Knanis. Right. Yeah.
So the same shift that he was until now.
Will be also to him, yeah. Tanan Abanan, we learned in a Braisa, and we learned this already the other day. Kitov la'imach, another meaning of kitov la'imach, means imcha b'maychol, imcha b'mishteh. He has to be equal to you in food and in drink. Shaloi tehei at oicha pas nekiya. So you can't have that you, the master, are eating clean white bread, who oicha pas kibur, and he's going to eat pumpernickel bread. After Shosi Yain Yosh and Roshosi Yain Chodosh, you're going to be drinking old wine, which is the good stuff, and he's drinking new wine, which is not. After Yosh and Agabi Muchin, Yosh and Agabi Tevin, you're going to be sleeping on stuffing on a comfortable bed, and he's going to be sleeping on straw. Mikanomu, based on this, the Chacham said, Palakoina Evet Ivri, the Koina Odin La'atme, a person acquires an Evet Ivri, he's in effect acquiring a master for himself, because Tosfos discussed the other day, if he has only one pillow, he has to give it to the Evet. He can't keep it for himself, because then he's being over on Kitov La'imach. He can't not have either of them use it, that would mean Midas Zoim. So he winds up having to give it to the Evet.
I was going to ask you, like we
looked
a few days ago.
Yeah, we learned in the Gemara, Adaf Chof. There, the Gemara mentioned as an incidental thing. Here, we're going through the remaining dinim of an Eved Ivri, so we're mentioning this. Tana Rabban, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'yotzame imach, he goes out from with you. Who uvon of imai, he and his sons with him. The context of that Pasuk is talking about where a person sold himself as an Eved. So he goes out together with his sons. He may have been sold, whoever sold the sons and daughters that we say they're going out. From here we learn that the master is obligated to support his children while the father is working as an Eved. And now the pasuk is saying they go out from that, and now they don't. And now he doesn't have that chiyuv anymore. Yeah, an interesting point, by the way, that Mefoshim bring up is the whole concept that a husband has to support his wife, and that a father has to support his children itself is only midrabanan. We learned in Ksubas. So how is the Torah now imposing that as a chiyuv on the master? So in fact, Reb Shlomo Kluger in his Kiddushim brings that maybe from here you have a proof that it's not daraisa, that it's not midrabanan. Maybe at least the requirement for a husband to support his wife is daraisa. There are Rishonim who learn that the Rashba and other Rishonim learn. No, it is d'rabbanan, but what the Torah means is it's true technically min haTorah, a man doesn't have to support his wife and children, but practically speaking, any normal person does. So the Torah is putting that responsibility on the Adam. There's an interesting in Chelek Vav, in the back of Chelek Vav, when Parshas Mishpatim was a whole exchange of letters between the Rebbe and Rebbe Menashe Klein, where they were going back and forth on this. The Rebbe says, I find it very difficult to understand that svara of the Ramban and the Rashba and so forth. When do we have such a thing that there's something is not a chiyuv min haTorah? It's only the Rabbanan, but the Torah is saying that a person would be a mensch and do it. Where do you ever find such a svara? And then Rebbe Menashe writes back to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe writes back to him, and you have a whole exchange over there going and then being foulful in and out on this. That would mean, for example, he has to give her enough. We learned in Ksubas. It can mean, for example, he has to give her the bare minimum just so she doesn't starve. The fact that he has to give her certain amounts that we learned in Ksubas, that might be only d'rabbanan.
Even children up to certain ages.
So no, it's also not d'oraisa. So we learned over there that if he doesn't want to support them until age 6, we can't actually force him. We may put social pressure on him. We announce he's worse than a raven who doesn't support his children and so forth, but we don't have a basis to actually be mechayev him to do it. So yeah. And kayotze b'davar ata oimer, you have a similar kind of thing when it comes to an Eved Ivri who was sold by Beis Din. In ba'al ishahu, the pasuk says if he's married, the yotze ishto imo, his wife goes out with him. You have the same question. Amar Rav Shimon, imhu nimker ishto minim keres, when was his wife sold that she would go out? Same thing, the kan shadab, chayabim zonis ishto. From here we learn that his master is obligated to support his wife. Now, why do we need that drosha in both cases? Utsuricha. We need it. If we were told only about his sons, you would say, you know why? The master has to support them. They're little kids. They can't support themselves. So therefore, the master has to support them. She could support herself. She could just as well work and then eat. Maybe Taka, she has to go and get a job in order to support herself. So therefore, we're saying no. On the other hand, if we mention only the wife, you would say, it's not normal for a woman to go and beg for tzedakah, to go and begging around the door. It's not sneistic. Aba bonav de duchayu lahaduri, but sons where they could go and beg for tzedakah, emaloi, maybe the master is not chayev, come on, it's tzricha, so therefore we need to be told in both cases that he needs to. Okay.
Now this isha after 6 years. Not considered a wife.
No. So with the Shivcha Knanis is not considered. Right. Here we're talking about a Jewish wife. The Shivcha Knanis, yeah. She was never his wife in the first place. It's just the Torah made the Torah. No, she doesn't. No. She remains a Shivcha Knanis and her children. No. In fact, the Rambam Mefoshim will explain that an Eved Ivri is mutter to her, where every other Yid is also, is meant to bring home to him how far he's fallen. He stole, or he was over on Shvius, as we learned the other day in the Gemara, or whatever, and therefore he's lost so much of his Kedusha of a Yid that he's even allowed a Shifra Knanis, which wouldn't be allowed normally to anybody else. So that's meant to drive home to him how far he's fallen, that he should improve himself.
And again, a Shifra Knanis doesn't look at himself himself.
So that's what we talked about the other day in the Gemara. We said the halacha is like the chachamim, that yeah, it doesn't work if he sells himself, only if he's sold by Beis Din. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanan Abanan. Let's talk about the piercing itself. The pasuk says, V'nasata ba'ozno uvadelas. You put the marseya, or whatever tool it is, into the ear and the door. So ilu nema ozno vadelas. If the pasuk had said his ear in the door, if it didn't say be'ozno, then you would think that you would only pierce near his ear into the door. Yidkur, it says on the side of it here. Actually, it says it should be yikdur, which is another word that means to pierce. Whatever, both dokar and kodar means to pierce. Anyway, you would think that it means you pierce his ear near the door, implying delas ein osnei loy. Maybe you would be implying that you only make a hole in the door, not in the ear. So the Gemara interjects before we finish the Braisa, how could you possibly think that? The Ozen Loi, you would think possibly without the Pasuk telling you differently that you don't pierce the ear. Well, Ksiv, you have the Pasuk in Mishpatim, V'rotza Adonim as Ozne Bamatzea. The master pierces his ear with an awl. So it's very clear that the ear itself is pierced. You don't need another Pasuk to tell us. Ela, no. What the Braisa means is, maybe it means he should pierce his ear someplace else, not by the door. Then afterwards, you should place the pierced ear on the door, and then start piercing through the door on the other side, opposite the ear. So maybe you do like that. No, Talmud Loma. Therefore, the pasuk says, "But ozne uvadelas into his ear and into the door." Means he puts the ear next to the door and he pierces through the ear all the way through the ear until he reaches to the door. Now, then the Braisa continues. When it says delas, when it says delas, the door, shemeani ben akura ben she'en akura, the word delas itself could imply whether the door is attached or whether it's not attached. You could have a detached door and you do it. No, Talmud Lomar, mezuzah. Therefore, the Pasuk says in Mishpatim that you bring him to the door or to the mezuzah. Now, you don't actually do the piercing into the mezuzah. You do the piercing into the door. So the reason it mentions the mezuzah, the doorpost, is to teach you. Ma mezuzah ma'umad, just like the doorpost, is standing in place. Otherwise, it actually says it can't be called a mezuzah. The definition of a mezuzah, not mezuzah as in the scroll that we put up, but mezuzah as in the actual doorpost, the definition of a doorpost is it's standing up. Mezuzah means the doorpost. Yeah, we call the scroll a mezuzah because it's placed on that. But yeah. Afdelis nami mu'umad, the same way the door also has to be standing up. An interesting point, by the way, that posts can point out from this is you learn from this that the definition of doorposts is they're standing upright. Therefore, for example, a trap door would be potter from mezuzah because the doorposts are not standing upright. Okay, so the Gemara says now a little agadta on this subject. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hoya dirdish as a mikra zeh kimin choymer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would douch in this posuk like a choymer. Now, here and in other places in Shas, Rashi explains that a choymer is something that contains spices. Here, Rashi translates as tzur hamagolius, a bundle of not spices. Rashi says it could be a bundle of jewels, a bundle of pearls, or a bundle of spices. Choymer would mean a bundle. Elsewhere, Rashi says it means more like a button-shaped thing that contains perfume. Tosfos gives another explanation. That choymer means a maisa, means the action, and they bring from the aruch that in Arabic the shorash ches memresh means action. I mean, like you ask somebody what are you doing, then you tell them machamroch. So therefore, kamin choymer means Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is dashing in accordance with the maisa that was done. Why Hashem is imposing this particular din? Manishtana oizen mikolei vorim shabaguf. Why was the ear singled out from all the other parts of the body that dafka that one is pierced? Because Hashem, in effect, is saying, the ear that heard my voice on Har Sinai, when I said, Bnei Yisrael are my slaves, they should not be slaves to other slaves. One yid should not be a slave to another one. And this guy went and got himself a master. Therefore, he deserves to have his ear, Davka, pierced, because the ear failed to absorb what he was supposed to.
This is going to make sense if he sold himself.
So 1 second. So Fakir, if he's sold by Beis Din, then if he's sold by Beis Din, it means he stole and he caused that he gets an odin la'atzma, and not only that he wants to stay on beyond 6 years. The Cheshek Shlomer, Reb Shlomer Kluger, points out that if the halacha is he's not nirtza when moicher atzma. Because really, as long as he's able to go out the gira in kesef, as long as he's able to pay his way out, and that's baal korcha, the odin doesn't even have to agree to it, as we learned earlier in the Gemara, then you can't really call him that he's koina odin la'atzmai. Only when he's getting his ear pierced, then there's no gira in kesef, only then can we really say, now he's really koina odin la'atzmai, now he's making himself a master, where he's going to have him until Yovel, or until the master dies, or until he dies, whichever is first. Therefore, you can really call him koina odin la'atzmai more so than you would have before.
He's staying on his own will.
Yeah. An interesting point that they make is so why is it the ear's fault? I mean, on the face of it, it's his whole body that was involved in that. And the vote is the ear heard it, but it didn't transmit it to the rest of the body, so to speak. So then, yeah. Anyway, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe hoya derush hamikra azak min choymer. Similarly, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe used to douse in this posik like a choymer, like a bundle of spices or jewels, as Rashi says, or according to the Maisa, as Tosfa says. Manishtan adelas and mezuzim mikokelim shavabayis. Why specifically the door and the doorpost are different than all other kelim in the house that you do the ritzia by them? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is saying, Delos and mezuzah show you edim in Mitzrayim. The door and the mezuzah were edim in Mitzrayim. B'shosh basachti ala mashkifal shtei mezuzahs. When I jumped over the doorposts and the mashkif and the two mezuzahs by Makas Bechordes, by Marti, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. I said the Jewish people will be my slaves, v'lay avodim la'avodim, v'yitzesim ma'avdos l'cheiros. So I brought them out from slavery to freedom. This guy is going and getting an order in for himself. He deserves to have his ear pierced in front of them. Tosfos brings an interesting point from a medrash. It's also in Bala Turim on the Pasuk. The word Mautseya is gematria 400. So it represents, as Shebet said, the Jewish people are going to be Avodim v'inu oisim arba me'estrana. And after that, that's it. They're never going to be Avodim again. And this guy doesn't want to pay attention to that. Therefore, he deserves to have his ear pierced with a Mautseya specifically. Although we learned the other day, it doesn't have to be Mautseya, but still, that's the tool that the Pasuk mentions. There's a sicha also, where the Rebbe discusses that the vote is when we're saying that again, only a person who stole is the one who can say all this, I have to, yes, Adoni, etc., and get his ear pierced. When he stole, now Rashi over there on the Pasuk brings another drasha that he heard by Har Sinai, was signoi, and he went and was over it. Fine, you could say that. You could say he was over on those signal, he was poor, he felt he didn't have a choice. Doesn't excuse what he did, but at least it like mitigates it. But now, after 6 years, he's willing to stay on as an Eved, meaning he doesn't care that everybody publicly knows that he stole. Now is the time when we impose on him the punishment for the fact that he originally was over on Losi. Okay, now that we've talked about an Eved Ivri, let's start talking about an Eved Knani. Mishnah says, Eved Knani nikna b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. An Eved Knani can be acquired in one of three ways. You pay money for him, you write a shtar, meaning that the Moicha writes a shtar, that I'm selling my Eved to you, over Chazaka, or by doing Chazaka, which we're going to see soon in the Gemara, what Chazaka consists of. The Koine Asatzma, but Kesef, Aydeh Chedem, of Shtar, Aydeh Atzma, Divir Ameir. As far as reacquiring himself, as far as becoming free, he can be Koine himself by money, but the money has to be provided by others. Because if he himself gets money, mashakona eved kona rabbi, so therefore he can't use it for his freedom. And Rameo does not hold of the concept that other people can be makne to him on condition that the master will not own it. Rameo does not hold of that concept. Therefore, he says the only way kesef can be accomplished is somebody else giving the kesef. Over shtarai dadzma, as far as the shtar, he himself could personally receive the shtar from the odin, and that works. Divrei Rameo. Say no, the other way around. The kesef could be accomplished by himself. He could conceivably have kesef of his own, again, in the sense that somebody can give it to him, almanas that his master doesn't have. But the shtar has to be received by others because, as the Gemara is going to explain further on, he's yad eved ki yad rabo. He's not considered to have his own independent yad. So how could he receive his shtar and it would work? So it has to be somebody else has to receive the shtar on his behalf. We'll discuss that point later in the Gemara. However, the Chum say, when we say the Kesef can be Ayyid Atzmai, doesn't mean that it starts out as his own Kesef, where they agree. Rash Kona Eved Kona Rabbi means somebody else could be giving him Kesef, and that works to free. So the Gemara says, Menolon, where do we know that an Eved can be acquired in these ways? The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, you will bequeath them, the Avodim Knanim, to your children after you, Loreshes Achuza, to inherit them as an Achuza, which usually an Achuza usually means an estate, an estate of real estate, yeah. So therefore, he kishen akosav b'sdei achuza. So the Pasuk is comparing an Eved Knani to a sdei achuza. Mas sdei achuza nikna b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. Just like a sdei achuza can be acquired with kesef shtar b'chazaka. Later on in the perek, we'll learn the source for that. That karka can be acquired with one of those three things. After Eved Knani nikna b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka, so also with an Eved Knani. You're asking, by the way, about, yeah. So then the Gemara says, so if you're going to compare an Eved to a Sdeachoza, then you should say, Masdeachoza Chazeres Labailim by Yovel, just like a Sdeachoza returns to its original owner in Yovel, Af Eved Knani Chazer Labailim by Yovel, maybe an Eved Knani would also return to his original master in Yovel, and the Foshim point out what it would mean is, what if to begin with he sold himself, then it would mean he goes free in Yovel, maybe, because then his master, his original master, is himself. No, therefore the pasuk says you should work with them forever, and that means la'olam. Now Tosfos Yishanim actually points out, why don't we say that la'olam over here means to yovel, just like it does by an eved divri. The answer is then the pasuk could have not said anything, and we would have learned the gzeira shava from Sdeachoza. Since the pasuk says la'olam b'hem ta'avodu, then the pasuk means to tell us don't think in that sense it's like a Sdeachoza. Rather la'olam, he means literally la'olam, he remains forever, not just till yovel. You mentioned, yeah, I mean, we learned in Gittin that Kolam Shachar Abda over Be'esef, the person freezes Eved when there's not a good reason for it, then he's over on this Esef, but nevertheless, it could work. It's still, there are cases that we learned over there, the Dvar Mitzvah he's allowed to, and for various purposes like that. So then you have, there are cases where we can be Mashachar. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Af B'Chalifin. Another way that you can acquire an Eved is with Chalifin, which would be either that you actually trade something else for the Eved, or that you do a Kinyan Suder. So that would work also. So the Gemara says, V'tana didan, now why didn't does our Tana disagree with it? Why doesn't he mention that? So no, Milsa delesim and metalplin katani. The Mishnah wanted to stress only the kinds of Kinyanim that don't work by metalplin. Milsa de isib and metalplin, like katani, the Mishnah did not want to mention things that also apply to metalplin. Chalifin works by metalplin as well, so therefore the Mishnah didn't want to bother listing. Only kesef shtar chazaka, where none of those work by metalplin, the Mishnah wants to stress us, you should know they work by avodim, even though an eved is physically metaltal, nevertheless for that purpose he's considered like karka. And Mephoshim discussed, in other words, the point is that the Torah is not saying by comparing him to achuza, meaning that he's exclusively like achuza, and no other method of kinyan will work, it means these methods of kinyan will also work, but so will all the methods that work by metalplin. So the Gemara continues, Amar Shmuel, Eved Knani nikne b'meshicha. Another way you can acquire an Eved Knani, says Shmuel, is by meshicha, by pulling. Heitzad, what does that mean? Tok for your ba'etz. Like, if he grabs a hold of the Eved, and so the Eved comes to him, Knoi, then the master has acquired the Eved by that. Again, Pnei Yeshua says this point, that we're not excluding the kinyonim that work by metalplin. We're also saying that we're also saying that and in fact, so it's one thing chalifin works by karka as well, but it works by metalplin. Meshicha works only by metalplin, and nevertheless, we're still saying that it works by an eved as well. So on the other hand, kora your ba'etzle, but on the other hand, Shmuel continues, if you just called verbally to the eved and then he came over like noi, then you haven't acquired the eved with that, because the eved is going midas atz. So the Gemara asks, so now we have to ask, why didn't Tana mention this point? Or why didn't the Tana of Om Mishnah or the Tana of this Braisa, of the Braisa, mention this point? The Shlema of the Tana Didan, it's easy to understand according to the Tana of Om Mishnah why he didn't bother mentioning this Meshicha. Because again, Milsa de Isib of Atalpli like Katani, the Lesib of Atalpli Katani, because we said already, Om Mishnah is focusing only on the ones that don't work by Metalplin, whereas Meshicha works by Metalplin. Ela Latana Bora. But the Tana of the Braisa, who also mentions Khalifin, which also works by Metalman, Nisni Meshicha, why doesn't he list Meshicha as well? And the answer is Kikatoni Milsa de Isa, Bain Bemakalkri, Bain Bemetalbli. The Tana of the Braisa is mentioning things that work either by Karka or by Metalman. Meshicha to be metalpli ikka isa makauki lesser, but Meshicha works only by metalpman, not by karka, loy katoni. Therefore, the Braisa didn't want to bother mentioning it. That doesn't mean that the Braisa disagrees with Shmuel and says that it wouldn't work. It does work, but it doesn't fit into the category of the ones that the Braisa has mentioned. So, in short, you have five ways of acquiring an Eved Knani: Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka, Chalifin, or Meshicha. Okay. Now, we said, Ketzad, so we said that Shmuel had said that how do you acquire an Eved Knani with Meshicha? Tokfo, if you grab a hold of him with Ba'etzloi, and the Eved comes over, Knoi, then you acquired him. Kro, your Ba'etzloi, like Knoi, but if you call to him verbally, and then he comes over, and then he's not koina. So the question is, why not? The koroi loy, you're telling me if you call someone and then you can't accomplish mashicha that way, with an animal that does work. V'hatanya, keitzed b'mesira, we learn in a braisa. How is kinyan mesira done, which is another form of kinyan for metaltlin? Mostly it's for animals, although the Gemara mentions elsewhere you can use it for boats or other things like that. Anyway, how does kinyan mesira work? For example, ochza b'talfa, if the buyer grabbed a hold of the animal by its hoof, b'sa'ora, or by its hair, b'ukaf shalah, or he grabbed the saddle that the animal is wearing and then and pulled on that, b'shlif shalah, or he pulled a bundle of merchandise that's on the animal, b'trumbia shabapia, or he held on to the bit in the animal's mouth, or b'zug shabatzavara, or a bell that's hanging around its neck, k'na, then he's koine by pulling on any of those, by not even pulling, mesira, means that the other guy hands him over one of these things and tells him, you go ahead and hold it. That's a kinyan. And that's even though he didn't move it. In other words, it's still, that's considered a kinyan. Ketzeb b'mashicha, how do you acquire an animal by mashicha? Now, we're actually going to learn later on in a few blocks, not everybody agrees with this braisa that you could acquire an animal with mashicha. We're going to learn later on that there are some tanoim who hold you can acquire an animal only with mesira, or one of the other ways of kinyan, not with mashicha. But our braisa,
sound like a very big thing.
We're going to see later on, and daf kaf hey, we're going to see it's not so simple. Also, the Gemara is going to mention that there might be a difference between behema gasa and behema daka, between a large animal where you can't physically lift it versus a small animal where you could, and therefore maybe you can only use kinyan agbah. We'll talk about that later on. Anyway, wait. Food. Yeah. So koda law, so how do you accomplish mashicha? You caught it, the hibah, and it comes. Or he hit it with a stick, and it ran in front of him. Kivin sha'okra, yad v'regel, once it picked up one foreleg and one hind leg, that's considered mashicha, ukna, then he acquired it because he made it move, even if he only yelled at it. And then, fine, Rab Asi, Ba'amila, Rab Acha, Omer, Ajitelech Lefonav, Molek Lemosa. They say that, no, it's not enough for it to just pick up one foreleg and one hind leg. It has to be that it actually moves its full length, meaning, in other words, that it has to completely move out of the foot space of where it was before. Fine, so they're arguing on that particular detail, but they both agree that Mashicha works only verbally, only by calling to the animal. So why is Shmuel saying with an Eved it doesn't work? So the answer is Amri. So they answered Behema Adaita Demora Ozla. The difference is an animal, when it goes, it doesn't have its own das, it goes based on the das of the master. Eved Adaita Denafshika Ozl, as opposed to an Eved goes on his own das, he's a ben das, so therefore you calling to him and coming can't be considered a kid. However, the Gemara says, Omer Rav Ashi, Eved Kotten Kebehema Dami. In that sense, then, a minor Eved, a child Eved would be considered like a behema in that sense, because he doesn't have das either, and he also comes based on the other person calling. So that would work. Okay, now we said that chazaka is one of the ways that works. Tana Rabbanan, Heitzed b'chazaka. What does it mean to acquire an Eved with chazaka? Hitter loy min oloy. If the Eved takes off his master's shoe, or he carried his clothing behind him to the bathhouse, if he took off the master's clothes in the bathhouse, or he bathed him, he smeared him with oil, he scraped his skin, which they used to in those days to get rid of dead cells and whatnot. If he helped him get dressed, he tied his shoes for him. So all of those work. There is, by the way, Machlokas Rishonim. What about, for example, the Rash balloons? If, let's say, for example, he does field work for the master, that wouldn't be considered chazaka. It has to be that he does something for the master's body, like we're talking about over here. On the other hand, different other Rishonim disagree with that. The Rambam, among others, disagrees with that. The Raivad agrees with the Rashba. So you have, if he does other kinds of work, then is that considered chazaka? Both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, and then one more, he also if he lifted them up. Reb Shimon lo tei chazaka gdoyla mehagba. Reb Shimon says chazaka shouldn't be stronger than agba. Shagba koina b'chol makim, picking something up is koina everywhere. Meaning, even though there are some kinds of kinyanim like mashicha that work only in sided rishos rabim, only in the sides of rishos rabim, or a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them, etc. But when it comes to agba, agba is always koina, even in the rishos of the other of the seller. So therefore, Reb Shimon says agba has to be at least as strong as chazak. So the Gemara says, my karma. What does Reb Shimon mean? The Tanakama already mentioned he'd be. So what is Reb Shimon adding to that? So Omanavashi, it means like this. If the Eved picks up the master, then there's no question that the master acquires the Eved, because that's chazak. The same way as if the Eved helps him dress or undress or whatever, it's a chazaka. The same way, if the Eved picks up the master, that would be considered a chazaka as well. What happens? But if the master picks up the Eved, then loy knoi, the Tanakama says he's not acquiring him by that, because that's not considered, because you can't acquire an Eved with Hagbah. It's not normal to pick up people. The Meiri gives another point. Also, it makes it look like you're serving him rather than the other way around. Why are you picking him up? On the other hand, then Omer Reb Shimon loy tei chazaka gdoyla mehagbah. But Reb Shimon says, look, chazaka can't be greater than hagbah. Shagbah koinim b'chol makim. Hagbah works everywhere. So therefore, yes, it should work even by an eved of you. It may not be a normal thing to do. It may not be. It may look like you're serving him. But the fact is, we see that hagbah always works. So therefore, it has to work by an eved as well. Now, halacha, in fact, is like Reb Shimon, and therefore it does work. Now, so the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, Hashta de amati biyohu the rabbi knoi. Now that you're saying that if the Eved picks up the master, then he's koina him. So you have to ask, what in that case, elameata, by that logic, shivcha knanis tikone b'biya. Shouldn't it be possible to acquire a shivcha knanis by having relations with her? Because Rashi says she's picking him up because he's on top of her. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, I mean, she's not picking him up. He's like lowering himself on top of her. So he explains rather that, so actually different Rishonim explain that the Tosfos HaRosh brings, in other words, the fact is she's serving him. You know, she's serving him as far as Bia. So if we're saying before that Eved serving his master should work, then we learned you're not allowed to.
Yes, you said that she's... A woman is just laying there. It's just not
right. Right. The fact remains, though, that the Gemara is asking. At least it's considered a kind of service. So why shouldn't he be koina her like that? And we know it's not so. So the answer is ki kaminan zenen of zemitstar. When does it work? When the eved is picking up the master, when the oden benefits from it, and the eved is having pain or discomfort from it. It's not so comfortable to pick up another person. So therefore, that's considered the fact that he's having that discomfort. Means, in other words, that what he's doing is considered a service. It's considered an avoida. And therefore, we can say that makes him an eved. Hocha, zenen, v'zenenu. When it comes to having relations, they both have hana. So therefore, you can't consider that to be a form of avdus. So the Gemara says, what about shaloi kadavka mai? Nu, and what if he has relations with a shaloi kadavka mai ikon meima? Then what are you going to say? That she doesn't have hana from. So the answer is, omer ab achai, bar adad, I mean acha. Who says that in that case they don't both have hana? Yes, the Gemara does mention in other places that bia shaloi kedauka is not considered hana. We find, for example, by Dina and Shechem, by Yishkavosa, by Yaneha, where Yaneha means he afflicted her, and Rashi says over there shaloi kedauka. Nevertheless, you could argue there's a certain amount of hana there. It's not exclusively in it. And anyway, continues Rav Achoy, Mishkevei Ishaksir. The fact is, the Pasuk says regarding having relations the context is the Pasuk is talking about a man having relations with another man, where they're both Chayiv Misa, but the Pasuk uses the expression Mishkevei Isha, the lyings of a woman, Loshen Rabim. He kisha akosiv kedauka l'shaloi kedauka, whereby the posik is making without a hekish between bia kedauka and shaloi kedauka. For almost all purposes in halacha, they're considered to have the same effect. For example, when it comes to eshes ish, when it comes to a yavam with a yavama, when it comes to many other examples like that, kedauka or shaloi kedauka have the same effect, and it's considered bia. So therefore, so if you're going to say over here that bia shaloi kedauka would work, then bia kedauka would work also. And it doesn't, obviously, because there you don't have the same kind of thing that zenen of a zemitstar, the bia kedauka, they're definitely both having hana. So therefore, you can't say that that's considered the kind of the kind of thing that should be considered to require a shifra knanis on that basis, and therefore, in fact, it doesn't work.
And you don't say that it's similar to a woman being married who's kind of through...
So that's, we learned actually previously when we went through earlier in the parak that all the different ways of being koina, a regular isha, the kesef, the shtar, the rabia. So we discussed over there the possibility, we mentioned that you can't be koina, an oma, you can't be koina, a shift kanis with bia, or an oma hevriya for that matter, you can't be koina with bia either. And we use that as a basis for various kalvachomers to show, therefore, so we said, for example, we use that as one of the bases to show that bia will work to be koina a wife. Because we said, if kesef works to be koina and a shifra knanis, but bia doesn't, how much more so? How much more so if kesef works by a regular isha, that bia should work? So it was all presupposing that bia does not work by a shifra knanis. So now we're explaining the basis of that, because that can't be considered a way of avdos, because avdos involves that you're benefiting, and the other one is having discomfort from it, whereas here you don't. Both of them are benefiting. Again, you're going to say shaloi kedarka, but since the posuk is making a hekesh between them, you can't say one should work and the other will not. Necessarily, neither of them will. So it has to be kesef shtar chazaka, or we said in the Gemara, you have the other two ways as well. Chalifin or chazaka. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem. We'll talk about this that we said, that Shmuel had said, that an Eved Katan you can acquire just by calling to him, and he runs over to you. So we're going to continue on that topic, and then we're going to continue with more dinim about Avodim Knanim in general.
Chalifin, which is, can be less than a Shabbat.
It could be less than a Shabbat Perthi. Yeah, Chalifin can be done with a Kali that's less than a Shabbat Perthi. Yeah, yeah.
Now, and who's being kind of this?
Yeah, we're talking about the Jewish Balabas is coining the Eved using one of these methods, yeah.
We're speaking also about the
Shifra Knanis, same thing. We're talking about an Eved Knani or Shifra Knanis. We're done now with Eved Ivri and Omo Ivri. Right. Now we're talking
Shifra Knanis,
same thing. The Balabas can acquire her with Kesef Shtar. Yeah, he's buying her in the market or whatever. So you can acquire her with Kesef Shtar or Chazaka. Could be he's buying her in the market. Could be he's buying her from a fellow Yid. Could be he's buying her from a Goy. Whatever, doesn't really matter. Sure, everyone.